Welcome to the Market Mystics Podcast. I'm Joshua.
I'm Kim. Let's dive in. This is going to be a fast one, you guys. We have 21 minutes.
Yeah, we have 21 minutes until our next meeting, but I believe we can at least broach this topic. Okay, I'm just going to jump right into it. So a few weeks ago, we did like the episode, like Kim is fun. We also did the like questions episode where we just asked each other silly questions, just to bring some like lightheartedness to the show and help you guys get to know us better. And also because like, sometimes we get like bogged down in like serious things, quote fingers.
I'm so serious.
Yeah. And it's like, yeah, I don't know that that's how life is supposed to be all the time, or any of the time. But so the topic that I want to talk about, like it goes into some of those, but it also reminds me of like, also a couple weeks ago, we interviewed Francois, who's one of our partners in South Africa. And when we were creating Eden Protocol in South Africa, one of the things that was really important was play. Like that kept coming up and kept coming up as like the importance of play, the importance of play in learning, the importance of play in business, like the importance of play in the spirit. I heard someone say the other day, I'm gonna read this, work properly done in the garden, unself-consciously, motivated by covenant with the highest good, naturally becomes play. And it was, you know, you can take that to be like, I think you could apply that concept to almost any area of life. So if you're talking about the garden of your heart, like if you're working in the garden of your heart, if you're actually working like on the earth in a garden, if you apply it to your business, if you apply it, whatever, to your faith, to relationships, like if you are doing things motivated by covenant with the highest good, like motivated to do things for the highest good you can, it naturally carries a lightheartedness that I think carries a spirit of play with it. And I also heard like the follow-up to that was like, I heard somebody talk about how little kids will often ask you to repeat something like, do it again, do it again, do it again. It's like, you know, and often that becomes annoying because it's so repetitive. And they were like, what if God has the mentality of a little kid and every morning he tells the sun, do it again. And it like, it becomes like, not this, oh, got to get up and make the sun come up in America. It's like, but it becomes like this playful, like pure enjoyment play with creation. Like, I just think that it's like, my thought is that that for years has been something we've been told to focus on, like you and I, Kim, in what we do. And it was fun to see someone else bring kind of a like way more complicated wording than I would have ever used to describe play. But I was like blown away. It's like, here's this, and the person who I heard talking about it was a Catholic priest. Like it wasn't like, and he was like explaining how life and faith and creation is about play. And I was like, that's kind of amazing. Like, I kind of love that. I'm just curious what your thoughts are.
Okay. My thoughts go immediately to what we were talking about before we were recording. And I was just telling Josh that earlier today, I was learning for the first time, which is wild to me, but I was learning for the first time what burnout looks like in me. And it kind of looks like how I function right now, like just being honest. And when you're talking about that, like I don't know that in everything that I'm doing, I think I am outside of my calling or my purpose. But am I doing it unself-consciously?
Yeah.
Number one, no, absolutely not. Like I'm so, I think this is where the fun part, I feel like I've lost it, is I'm so self-conscious about everything. I'm trying to be something to somebody, to be legitimate, to be taken seriously, to be whatever, right? That then I am so self-conscious that I take away any kind of fun or play that could be had with it. And so that's kind of what I'm thinking about. And like, if I truly believe in the things that I'm doing, I know that I'm making this all about me. The opposite of
It's a hard podcast.
self-consciously, right? Right. But that's what I'm thinking about. So, in the context of burnout, and we're talking about this, like, it should be somewhat feeling like play. You know what I mean? Like, I have a podcast studio. I should be going in there and like wanting to play. I have mics to test. I have mixers to test. I get to talk to people and hear about their life stories and encourage them to be who they are and pull out the value in them and see them flourish and be who they're supposed to be. Like, that is my passion. Maybe not on the podcast side of things, but that is like the medium to get it out. You know what I mean? Like, that is awesome. And that should be very playful for me. And yet I still go in like it's a drag sometimes.
Sure.
You know,
Yeah.
sometimes I get on our podcast and it's like it's a drag. We had this whole conversation. It's like, well, we should record. What are we going to record about? I turn into Eeyore. And it's just
Yeah,
relationship
it
and it's just
is.
community. And we actually have the freedom to play.
It's true. So I think that flows really well into the next thing that I was going to bring up in that in this topic, which was in that conversation I was listening to. The next thing they talked about was how most of our work is sacrificing the present for a future benefit. And it's not always, I don't want to say that's always the wrong thing to do, but that is primarily how we live, at least in Western society,
Sure.
is sacrificing right now so that hopefully tomorrow, next month, next year, 10 years from now, 20 years from now is better than today. And they said, the emergence of play is signaled by work where you no longer are sacrificing now for the future. Like if you're living in the present moment, like that, the emergence of play signals that switch. Because if you're working to with the mentality of I'm sacrificing right now. I don't want to be doing this. I'm sacrificing right now. Play will never have space to appear. But if you're able to switch, even like you're talking about maybe doing the same thing. Like I thought your example, the podcast studio was perfect because it's like you maybe are still going into the podcast studio every day, but if all of a sudden it's not, I'm sacrificing this, I'm sacrificing that so that this can be better. Like play never will have space to come into that space. But if all of a sudden, like it's like, oh, this is what I want to be doing right now.
Oh, I get to.
This is what I get to be doing. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. Then all of a sudden, play has space to come out. And I thought that was such a powerful, like, thought of like the importance of. Well, the importance of play, but also how to recognize when play is possible.
Yeah, that's interesting. Have you seen play get activated in a part of your life? in this, like, similar to what this is indicating?
Yeah. So I think a good example for me is like financial trading. Because there's been moments of my life where income was not dependent on trading. And because there was like, there was no pressure, there was no great risk to like eating or paying bills. All of a sudden it was like, oh, I'm going to try this, or I'm going to try that, and I'm going to do this. And then when some of those things changed, where all of a sudden for a while I was trading for a living, then it's like, oh, this has to be correct, or it's not, like, or I'm not going to be able to pay my rent. Like, that totally changed the way that I engaged with trading and took the fun out of it.
Yeah.
And so like, it actually caused me to stop for a while, because I was just like, it's not what I want to be doing. This isn't fun anymore. Yeah. And so, yeah, I think in my life, like that's a perfect example of exactly this. Like, I was so focused on next week, next month, what do the bills look like? What's the money look like? That trading was no longer fun. There was no play involved in it.
Sure. It's interesting. It almost makes me wonder, and I'm only wondering this, Josh, and I'd be curious to know what was your experience. It almost went like, it sounds like to me that it went from being something that produced fun and life to being something that could either give or take away, like life or death, kind of. Sure. Like,
yeah,
it's like a source of something switched. Is that what it felt like? Like, did you put it in a different role almost?
Yeah, that's what I was sort of thinking that, like, trying to think of how I would verbalize it. Like, to me, it was almost like, like I was trying to pretend to be mature about it. Like, I was like, oh, I need to grow up and I need to take this seriously because this is blah, blah, blah. And I put it in a place it shouldn't be. Because even if you are trading for a living, like, there's an incredible amount of stress to do that, for one, because it's very variable. But two, like, there, if you have it in the right place, it still can feel like play. Like, so I think it's like, it doesn't mean that you can't go through a really stressful situation or have a really stressful job and play can't be there because of the way it is. No, I think play could still be there. Like, I think you could be doing billion-dollar business deals and play could still be present if that's really what you want to be doing and it's appropriately spaced in your life.
It's really interesting. I have all these things going on in my head about this, but it just feels like a matter of positioning. And like where you allow this task or this thing that you do or that piece of work or whatever, like where do you position it in your life? That will determine then how you work with it. So is it something that is playful that then turns to work, but then do you allow it to still be playful and have the flow going from work to play?
Sure.
Or do you take it from play? Like maybe you're an entrepreneur. I love this. I love baking. Let's say that I love baking. So then I'm going to open a bakery and I get to be creative and make cakes and cookies and scones and croissants and all the things that I love and be creative with it. And then do you allow it to flow back into play or do you allow it to flow into grind? And so then it's just something you have to do. And I don't know that. I don't know that it has to be one or the other. Like, I don't know that it's like work always has to be grind. But can you position yourself in a way that your work is play, your play is work? And so then they become synonymous. And then you have a kind of pretty great flow.
Yeah. I mean, shout out Andy for that bakery comment, but
Andy.
Yeah. Our mutual friend Andy, who desperately wants to be a baker.
He does? I didn't know that. Did you know I used to have a cake business?
I didn't.
It was called Fantastic Cake.
That's hilarious.
Early 2000s. Oh, yeah.
That's funny. I didn't know that about you.
Yep.
One thing I was thinking while you were talking about that in the positioning of it is like, it doesn't even have to be like, okay, the first concept of like, I'm sacrificing right now so that later can be better. Well, you could still be making those same choices. But if instead of like, I'm sacrificing right now, you were like, this is really where I want to be at the moment. Mm-hmm. And that's where I want to be in the future. Yeah. But like, you really enjoy where you're at. You really enjoy the car you're driving, where you live. And you're like, I'm willing, like, this is what I want to be doing. And I will be doing that later because I'm making these choices. Like just that simple reordering, repositioning things, I think allows you the space to like still achieve what you want to do. It doesn't mean you have to like stay small. It just allows you to stay childlike, to stay playful.
Isn't there a saying that says, don't despise small beginnings? Isn't that a thing?
It is.
It's not in the Bible. Sounds like it should be a proverb, but I don't think it is. I think it's just
a saying. No, it is in the Bible.
No! Look at me quoting the Bible. I don't even know it.
Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin.
That speaks of play to me. He rejoices to see work begin.
I don't know what the context of that is. I'm only looking at that one verse, but like, yeah.
Isn't it Proverbs?
No, it's in Zechariah 4:10.
So close.
Yeah. I think it's powerful. Like we've talked all the time about our mindset and our source of supply and where we're coming from. But something I've been learning a lot about lately is like how things are ordered, like what position I put them in changes how I interact with them, changes how they function, and work and play and where you put them and how, like, do you separate them? What do you do with them? Like, that is like a huge thing with that. And I don't know that it's perfectly balanced, but I would say that like all the kids who want to be YouTube creators at the moment, what they're really saying is, I want to do what I love and make money doing it. And I want other people to see what I'm doing. And like the ones who are really successful at it are the ones who have that mentality, not the ones who are trying to copy someone else who became famous. Like if you're trying to copy someone else's path because it was successful for them, it may or may not be successful for you. But if you're doing something that you can actually play with, you can actually enjoy doing, like, I don't know that like content creator path is like the optimal thing, but I think it is a generation saying, I'm tired of like grinding and working on this and hating every moment of it. I want something better. And so I think it is that pendulum swing. And I think eventually it probably will come back to a spot.
In a more balanced place.
Yeah.
But sometimes, I mean, I feel like our generation, I know I'm at the very beginning of the millennial generation and you're kind of like right smack in the middle of it.
Yeah.
But I feel like our generation was taught by our parents' generation that like the grind is the thing to be respected. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. And the more you grind, the more you've proven yourself.
Right.
I don't know that they would say that they meant to teach us that, but I think it has been taught. Sure. And so then we see like Gen Z? Is that what's next?
I think so, yeah.
Gen Z, okay. We see them, and even like kind of the tail end of our generation, like it's not so much with my end of the millennials, but like kind of the younger ones who mm-hmm. are going, wait, this doesn't serve me well. Right. This isn't producing life. Even if that those aren't the words, that's what's now being communicated. Like, this isn't providing life for me. I'm not making a living. I'm grinding to make ends meet. So they're mm-hmm. switching it, and it's like pulling now to the other side of, now I'm going to have to find life in life.
That's good. Good talk.
Good talk. Oh, we ended right at 21 minutes. Congratulations.
Perfect.
Thank you for joining us today.
We'll see you guys next time.
Hey, thanks for listening. Keep up with us along this journey by liking, subscribing, and becoming a member through YouTube.
Members get exclusive access to bonus content with our guests, deeper dives into topics, and a look into other projects. We're glad to have you here. See you next time.